Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
I'm trying, buddy. As long as you keep making threes, I guess I have no choice but to hit the brakes. 9 of 14, 6 of 10 from the three-point line, 27 points. More importantly, 7 rebounds. He's doing everything to impact winning. You get a combined 50 points from J.K. and Buddy Hield off the bench. The record for most bench points as a team throughout a course of a regular season, 2018-19 Clippers, they were averaging 53 points a game. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, Lemon Pepper Lou. Well, this Warriors team so far, off the bench, they're averaging 61 points a game. They're average, and last year they had a great bench. Last year's bench produced about 43 points a game. Right now, the bench is producing 61 points a game. He has some unsung heroes in Kyle Anderson with a nice bank shot in overtime. The bank was open, right? Slow-mo there, late in the game. Oh, now
that was such a great play.
It was unbelievable.
You want to talk about slow-mo.
Slow-mo.
He did the little step through and then threw it up off the wrong foot, right hand. I couldn't believe that shot.
It was unbelievable. Now, I almost went crazy because Steve Kerr, the final possession, he pulled J.K. And he inserted Kevon Looney and Kyle Anderson. And I'm thinking to myself, we want J.K. running to the basket. Why are we pulling him? And Buddy Hield couldn't get a shot off as he slips there at the end of regulation, but the Warriors were able to bounce back and win the overtime. They had lost 11 straight games on the road in overtime. They had lost 11 straight. Their record from 2017 in overtime was 4-19, for crying out loud. They just hadn't won a lot of overtime games since 2017. So to see them pull through like that, and win that basketball game with Stephen Curry in street clothes and DeAnthony Melton in street clothes, what a positive sign for the Dubs. A positive sign. But Buddy Hield, man, damn, what the hell is going on? 30-58 so far from the three-point line. I'm not a math major. That tells me he's over 50% from three so far.
You know, it's interesting. When I watch, and I don't pretend to watch every single team in the NBA, but when I watch some of these teams that the Warriors are going up against, and then, you know, you're tuned into TNT, and they've got all the different games on there, there's a lot of teams with a lot of talent. Right. We just watched New Orleans two games in a row. Yep. And they've got talent. Right. We watched Houston. Houston's got a lot of talent. They do, like young talent. Don't get me wrong, but they got a lot of talent. But there's a difference between being a talented roster and playing like a talented team. And I'm looking at this year's Warrior team, and I thought they had talent last year. I did. I thought they had some talent last year. They just couldn't put it all together this year for whatever reason. Early on, they're playing like a unit. They're playing like a team. And I'm looking at the defensive side where, A, they're staying in front of people better than they ever have, but their recovery, their ability to recover has been so good without fouling.
Yeah.
And I look at Andrew Wiggins getting to the free throw line, I think, 10 times in this game.
10 times, 7-10.
They're doing a good job not fouling, and then they're doing a good job getting to the free throw line. Now, you missed almost 20 free throws in that game.
Missed 18, 32 of 50.
I mean, But you went 50 times.
Yeah, no doubt.
So to me, like yes, you missed the 18. You got to clean that up. There's no doubt. But I mean, how many times have they gotten to the free throw line? 50 times? I can't.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. Houston was fouling left and right. But the second half, give the Rockets some credit. Give the Rockets some credit. They forced the Warriors. They basically just ran them off the three-point line. The Warriors, after being 12 of 20 from the three-point line in the first half, shooting 60% in that first half, 3 of 11 in the third and fourth quarter. So what does that tell you? They were pressing. They were really pressing, making the Warriors pass and running them off that three-point line. And the Warriors in that second half just shoot 36%. They got outscored 76-48. As Houston came roaring back. Jabari Smith Jr. started cooking. Tari Eason with 22 alone in the second half. Amen Thompson, 13 points, 5 rebounds, three assists. Now, it says only one steal. Felt like he had about 15 deflections and multiple steals, man. He was getting in the Pajimski and any ball handler that he could possibly get into. So the Rockets come roaring back. But the resolve to win that basketball game, the resolve to win that game with Paz fouling out and Draymond fouling out. Kudos to those guys, the unsung heroes, and not only Kyle Anderson and Kevon Looney, but the stars of the show, Buddy Hield and Jonathan Kuminga, who took over overtime.
There was a moment, I'd forgotten if it was after a timeout and Draymond had already fouled out, or if it was when Draymond was on the floor, but Pajemski took a air ball three. Yep. Late in the game. He kind of held onto the ball. Yep. No one else touched it. And they had an opportunity to take a lead. And Draymond put his arm around him as they were walking back to the huddle. Like, yep. That's not a good shot. Yep. That's not a great possession. And you could just tell, like, instead of berating him and yep. screaming and yelling at him, he put his arm around him. And he was, like, trying to explain to him why that. And like, you could see Paz is nodding. Right. And he's like, yeah, you're right. That is the growth of this team. And I feel like I'm coming around on Draymond on this sense. Like, I do kind of buy in that he, thus far, looks like a changed man. And I'm sure he'll explode at some point.
Right.
And we'll have that different conversation. Look, but early on, like, I see the leadership.
No, he's champion to change, man. Champion to change. I'm buying it. Here's what Kerr said, because I felt like this as well. We'll get to Wes Oakland Sam in just a second. But Steve Kerr, on what this does for the team moving forward.
Great experience, yeah, great experience. And, to win after Draymond fouls out, to win without Steph, to win on a night when the game just completely flipped. As good as we were in the first half, you know, they basically went small and switched everything and caused us a lot of problems. And so it's great to have that game on tape. It's great to feel it because we're going to have to get better when we face that kind of defense.
No doubt about that. How about Kuminga? How proud was Kerr of Jonathan Kuminga and his performance Saturday night?
It's been great. You know, this is the third game in a row he's come off the bench, and these were his three best games. I think the way he's responded, you know, to a role change is perfect. That's what we expect, you know, the professionalism, the force that he brought, you know, coming off the bench and playing the way he has. That's a huge sign of growth, and couldn't be more proud of JK.
Six rebounds for JK Saturday night for all the plus minus geeks. He's a team high plus 18, 23 points off the bench, 7 to 12. So Buddy Hield and Jonathan Kuminga combined to go 16 of 26 Saturday night. Eight threes between them. JK, 2 of 3 from the three-point line. Very selective. And he got to the free throw line as well, 10 times, 7 of 10 there. So, look, Kerr's proud of him. I'm proud of him. The growth, the maturity, very articulate. JK is playing at a high level alongside Buddy Hield. Let's go to Wes Oakland Sam real quick. Wes Oakland Sam, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, my brothers. How y'all doing, man?
Good, man.
I've always looked at players, particularly Buddy Hield, whenever our system works, it caters to people like Buddy Hield, because I've always looked at our system for players like Buddy Hield, and let's say for another player like JaVale McGee, to actually our system could rehabilitate a person's career. So even if we keep Buddy Hield or not, our system is tailor-made for somebody like Buddy Hield to thrive in and to rehabilitate his career. And I hope he stays with us because the residuals will be greater. It just feels good to see a team that is operating on a particular IQ to understand where our system works, where everybody understands their specific role. Like, to be honest, Slow-Mo gives me like that Sean Livingston vibe in a way. Buddy Hield gives us that poor man's version of Klay Thompson in a sense. So it just feels good to see a team operating on a specific IQ while also catering to Kuminga's role as he grows to potentially become a star, which is the only thing that we're waiting on is to see Kuminga completely take over a game and thoroughly do it through our system, right? So it takes a high IQ team to help him right now, which is why it's perfect as a 22-year-old that he is in a perfect situation where he's surrounded by high IQ players, even though Paz is in his second year, he's still a high IQ player. So surrounding somebody like Kuminga, who's still learning the game, particularly at the Warriors level,
yep.
where you need that, will help him in the long run.
No
but
doubt.
I hope you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Absolutely, absolutely. There, you know, one thing compared to last year, is I don't want to get too much into last year because I'm feeling the vibes right now, is that Kerr has figured out the role for this team a lot sooner than he did last year. Last year, there was just so much, what are you going to do with Chris Paul? Well, you don't play Chris. You had to start Chris Paul because he had injuries right out of the gate. You know, Draymond Green had the ankle injury right out of the gate. What was the role of Moses Moody? What was the role of J.K.? Where was Andrew Wiggins at? Where was Clay at? Pardon me. You moved out without Jordan Poole, so it felt like Steve Kerr was never, pardon me, Steve Kerr was never able to figure out the roles until later in the year. Think about when he benched Clay. Maybe that should have happened a lot sooner. Moses Moody, maybe he should have played more. Whatever the case is, he's figured out the roles a lot sooner on this roster than he did last year. And I think that's helping everybody. Everybody came out of Hawaii knowing, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Buddy Hield, sprint to the three-point line. TJD, sprint 94 feet. You may get the ball, just sprint as a big. JK, crash to the boards. Andrew Wiggins, be more aggressive. So they figured out the roles a lot sooner on this roster than they did last year.
I look at like the great teams in sports over a long period of time. Like Kansas City right now, anyone they acquire, we all go, yeah, that's going to like, right. That guy's going to make a play. Like at some point, that guy's going to make a play somehow, some way. Oh, Juju Smith-Schuster stinks everywhere else? Yeah, but here he'll make a play. Yep. Sammy Watkins is garbage everywhere? Yeah, but he's going to make a big time play
right. In
the Super Bowl. You know, they just acquired DeAndre Hopkins. New England had that hallmark for a long time. Oh, Corey Dillon's washed up with the Cincinnati Bengals? Yeah, he'll run for 1,000 yards here. Randy Moss has like played himself out of two different spots. Yeah, he'll ball out here. And I look at the Warriors situation, and even though we don't view them as a champion right now, there has been this elixir that they have. It's not for everyone, but there are certain people that fit perfectly. And to his point about Buddy Hield, it just feels like the guy fits.
It fits.
And
he's going to continue to get wide open shots playing next to Stephen Curry. That's the thing. The gravity of Stephen Curry is going to allow Buddy Hield to continue to shoot because as long as number 30's there, Buddy Hield will never be on top of the scouting report.
That's true.
People are going to look at him and say, hey, we need to shut down Buddy Hield. We need somebody face guarding him. But then you have the athleticism with JK, and you have Draymond Green running the point forward and Brendan Podzimski connecting everything. It's going to be a very difficult process. Now I started thinking about one-offs. Like I remember Mike D'Antoni, 7 seconds or less, Phoenix Suns. Quentin Richardson and Joe Johnson had years of their lives. Boris Diaw as well. You can have these one-off seasons every now and then where it's just like, wow, this guy's not going to slow down. TJ Warren had a couple class. You know, putting Buddy in those categories.
No, but I get what you're saying.
I'm saying for this year, in this system, this just may be what it is. It may just be what it is. Now, is he going to shoot 50% from the three-point line all season long? No, he's not. But, man, can he shoot 42%, 43%? Those are Clay numbers.
Look, Pete, just look at it this way. If you're a Warrior fan, stack the W's. That's a game last year that they lose and it hangs over them for a week or two, right? It ruins the whole road trip. I feel like those are the kind of games.
But you know what, though? Last year, the Warriors were good on the road.
No, I agree. But they're saying losing that way,
hangs
over a team. It just does. And like that, there are certain games that I believe in the NBA, like they feel like they're worth 2 points. You know what I mean? Or two wins in this situation. Like right now, you're in third place in the West.
Oh, now you
just keep stacking wins.
He wants a Shasky.
Just keep stacking wins.
That's what we're saying out loud.
No, we're not there. We're six games away.
It sounds like you're there.
We're six games away.
It sounds like you're counting Western Conference standings 6 games in.
No. I'm just looking. Bonte, I took the Bonte binoculars, and I have now grabbed them. I've grabbed the steering wheel, and I'm staring at the standings.
Oh, man. Rod Adams is going to join us at 7 o'clock. Rod Adams, assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors. Rod Adams, 7 o'clock. Shasky's close. He's close. You can hear it in his voice.
I am getting close.
Brett Oakland will get you here on the other side. He's got a question about playing time. Playing time. He wants to know why a particular player isn't getting more playing time. We'll get to that. 888-957-9570. Ryan Adams coming up at 7 o'clock here on the Morning Rose. And we will get around the NFL. A lot went on yesterday in the NFL. All that coming up here on the Rose. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full service banking. No compromises.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.